And it is time now for Talking Books. Every Wednesday morning at this time, we are joined in the studio by the one and only Susan Brown, who heads up the Chapel Hill Public Library and the Town of Chapel Hill Community Arts and Culture Department, and is working on a third even as we speak. Good morning. How are you?
I'm doing well. I'm trying to wake up on this rainy Wednesday morning.
Oh, my God, right?
I just want to stay in bed and read.
Yes.
That's what I want to do today.
That's a good, good piece of advice.
But instead, I got out of bed and drove here to talk about reading.
Thank you very much. Yeah, it is kind of like that's actually enlightening, because I've been kind of dragging all morning, which I'm sure you can't tell on the radio because, you know, I'm a professional and whatnot. But
you sound very peppy.
Oh, I'm very peppy this morning. Oh, my goodness. But yeah, like, why am I so dragging? Like, did I not get enough sleep? Yes, I didn't get enough sleep, but that's every day, so
right?
That's not the reason. It's because I've been looking out the window at this, like, gray, gloomy day for the last 2.5 hours.
Yeah, with your view, you can't help but see the gray and the gloom.
Yeah.
Then you have to fight the urge to get in bed with a book and read.
Exactly. Anyway, thank you for bringing yourself here so that
Indeed.
I don't have to look
it's
at
my
the gray
pleasure.
And gloomy. How
it's
are
my
things
pleasure.
Going at the library?
Things are going well. What's happening this week? Let's see. Oh, Tarred Healing will be leaving us on tomorrow.
Tomorrow, right? Yeah.
Tomorrow. So we've had hundreds and hundreds of people come and see it. Yesterday, even, there were people coming in throughout the day. So if you haven't had a chance to see this, I spoke with the artist Cornell Watson yesterday, and I don't know that it's going to be anywhere else anytime soon. He's working on some other shows, so this will be your last chance to see it for a while.
Mm-hmm.
This is Tarred Healing, the photo essay about the Black perspectives on Chapel Hill, both town and gown. It's fabulous. Summer reading continues. Boy, we have signed up thousands of people for summer reading. We are starting to work on our fall programming, so bringing that back. We will open up our meeting room soon.
Awesome.
Not quite yet, but soon. We're
all
still
right.
Working on some new reservation software, and we'll be adding some hours soon, too.
Nice.
Some of our final COVID-era changes on our path to reopening are happening this summer, so
very cool.
There you have it.
In terms of signing people up for summer reading this year versus like 2019, mm-hmm. more or less about the same?
Good question. I think more in part because of some changes we've made.
Okay.
You know, for a long time it was read 20 minutes a day. That's the challenge. And then we give you a book at the end of the summer when you complete the challenge. And this year we turned that whole thing on its head and said, set your own goal.
Yep.
Your goal might be to read 3 books this summer or to read a half an hour a day. Set your own goal. And we said, especially for kids, if we're saying kids need to read, it's really powerful to put a book in their hand at the beginning of the summer, in addition to the books that they can check out, but a book that they get to choose and own.
Yep.
So you get a book when you sign up. And that's been really, really positive and well received. So I can check the numbers, but I think we might be increased over 2019.
That's cool. Hey, chapelhillpubliclibrary.org is the website. Get more information on the library there, including book recommendations, more on the summer reading program, and other things as well. Speaking with Susan Brown, and we're talking books, so let's talk books. We've got a very big thing, obviously, in the news that everyone's still talking about, the Supreme Court decision on Friday. So with that in mind, we're going to use that as our prompt to talk about the Supreme Court, but also just women's rights in general, because
yes.
That's very much on the table. And pull the curtain back for a second, because I thought this was really telling this morning. We were going back, and we always go back and forth every Wednesday morning about what should we talk about, what should our prompt be. And ordinarily, for those of you who listen to this on a regular basis, Susan Brown is not typically excited about getting super political in this thing. Like, frequently I'll suggest, like, hey, this political thing is in the news, let's use that as our prompt. And more often than not, Susan will be like, oh, no, maybe this other thing. Today I said, well, we can do the political thing or we can do July 4th. Instant response. No, this week we're doing the political thing because
that's
it's
true.
Important.
That's
and I think
right.
I think that's telling just how significant it is, because I think there are people out there who don't get that yet, who don't understand how big a deal this is.
Yes. And I'll say that, you know, when we've talked about political things in the past or you've offered them up, I'm like, look, nobody's paying me to hear my opinions about politics. That's not my job. But you're right. This one hits a little different this week. Thank you for pulling back the curtain. Now let's pull that curtain back
all
around.
All right.
No, I'm kidding. So I assumed, mm-hmm. So I was thinking about what books I wanted to talk about. And so I assumed that you would go nerdy nonfiction.
100%.
Right. Check.
Yep. Yeah. I got nerdy nonfiction books about the Supreme Court.
Yep.
So
yep. Yeah. So and there are some great lists that are coming out this week. Mm-hmm. New York Times has a great list of nonfiction books to understand the whole arc of this. Book Riot does as well. So of course I turn to fiction.
Yeah.
So the first one that I want to recommend is a lot of people are mentioning The Handmaid's Tale, of course, right?
Right.
And then I would also recommend Octavia Butler's Parable of the Sower, mm-hmm. which touches on, I think, an even wider scope of issues about authoritarianism and women's rights and the future. But the book that I want to recommend today is also science fiction, dystopian fiction called Red Clocks. And the author is Leni Zumas. It came out in 2018.
I don't know this one.
It's fabulous. It's set in the future when, what do they call it? The personhood amendment has been enacted. So it's not just abortion rights and contraception. The government has said that every embryo has full rights, as we all do, to life, liberty, property, all of that. Mm. And it's set in a small town in Oregon, and it's the story of four women who are living their lives under this regime, and some of them are trying to get pregnant. One is pregnant. One is a lawyer trying to navigate this. So it's dystopian fiction set in the near future that's really wonderful because it touches on the actual lives of women under such a law. So Red Clocks by Leni Zumas. It's a fabulous read.
Interesting. Yeah. I'm going to have to check that one out. I don't think I've heard of that author before.
It's her debut or second novel.
Okay.
But again, everybody's talking about Margaret Atwood. You should also read Octavia Butler.
Yep.
And then once you're done with those two, pick up Leni Zumas. It's fabulous.
Love it. All right. So as promised, I'm going to go super nerdy. Two books, because we're getting this from the Supreme Court, and the Supreme Court is historically a very secretive institution where very few of its deliberations and the work that they do happen out in the open and public, to the point where, even to this day, the oral arguments are not filmed. There's audio recordings that are available after the fact, and that's literally all there ever is, and that's the most public they ever get. So how does the Supreme Court actually operate in the first place, and what goes into the justices' minds when they're making the decisions? This is something that folks are trying to understand as they're trying to wrap their minds around, why the judges did what they did on Friday. There's a book, because I went to Rutgers for grad school and read a number of books. There's a book called Deciding to Decide by H.W. Perry, who's another Rutgers guy. And it's actually really fun for a boring, dry nonfiction book about how the Supreme Court works, because he actually got to sit down with Supreme Court justices and clerks and interview them. And most of the book is just the back and forth that he had with all of these interview subjects, who opened themselves up to him in ways that they ordinarily don't do. Not about how the Supreme Court makes decisions, but about how the Supreme Court decides which cases to take in the first place.
And that's so interesting,
yeah.
I think, right?
Yeah.
So
much goes into it, and it really gives you that pull the curtain back look into how the judges interact with each other and what goes into the decision and why they decide not to do something that they might want to do and things like that. So Deciding to Decide by H.W. Perry. And then the other book that I'll recommend is a book called The Hollow Hope by Gerald Rosenberg, which is a little bit more well known. And this was written by Gerald Rosenberg as a cautionary tale back in the early 90s for for advocates and activists who were taking their cases to the Supreme Court and trying to get like monumental rulings on like civil rights and social justice and women's rights and things like that. And his point in the book is that when the Supreme Court hands down a huge decision, careful, because A, it doesn't have the huge impact that you necessarily think it does, and B, it often invites a political backlash and a reaction that might have negative consequences for you down the road. And he does this with Brown versus Board of Education and the impact that it had and didn't have. He does it with Roe v. Wade as well. And the point of the book, written in 1990, was, hey, people on the left, cautionary tale, be careful out there. I think you can, I haven't gone back and looked at it in the last week, but I think you might be able to read it today as a hopeful and positive book that, hey, this nasty thing happened on Friday, but use this as an opportunity to galvanize a movement, because there's a precedent set for Supreme Court decisions leading to like galvanizing movements that push back and actually make a difference down the road for positive and negative effects. But that's a thing that has happened in the past and certainly can happen now. Like what happened on Friday is not the end at all. In many ways, it's the beginning. Of a movement that could have major positive consequences down the road. So don't
I will
lose hope.
Remain hopeful.
Don't
then.
Lose hope.
Okay.
Yeah. So those are mine.
Speaking of the past, yes. The other fiction that I wanted to recommend. So the first book that I recommended imagines a dystopian future. Mm-hmm. This next one is historical fiction, and it delves into the past, and it's called My Notorious Life by Kate Manning. And it is a historical fiction based on a real character. Her name was Axie Muldoon. And she was an Irish immigrant. This is set in Victorian London. And through a variety of circumstances, she becomes a midwife and a provider of reproductive rights in the 19th century. It's inspired by a true story of a female physician. Sorry, I'm having trouble with the words. Who was once called the wickedest woman in New York for simply providing women the care they needed.
Oh, wow.
So if you like historical fiction and you can't delve into the nerdy nonfiction and dystopian fiction, it's just too much. Look to the past. This is a really wonderful historical fiction novel.
I like it. Because sometimes dystopian fiction is a little bit much for me.
It is,
like,
right?
Yeah, but it's also so good sometimes.
Yes. Like,
yeah.
Yep.
All right. That is Talkin' Books. Again, chapelhillpubliclibrary.org is the website. Go there, find out more book recommendations, staff recommendations, and a lot of other links to great information. Plus, of course, the library catalog too. Susan Brown, thank you so much.
Thank you.